Good morning. It's Friday. It's the 22nd, and we welcome you to the roundtable for this morning. It is sunny. It is beautiful. It is winter, and some of the world is going to be blasted with a nor'easter, apparently. But we're going to escape it. Although two of our panel members look like they're ready for it at any time, so that's good. That's good. They have their winter hats on and they're ready to go.
And I think it's very important.
You're just talking to the microphone.
And I think it's very important to remember how many stations we have, Joe, in the lower Hudson Valley who will not escape it. And our thoughts are with them.
Well, is that true?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're saying this morning, yes.
No, I know, but I thought we were...
No, we're knocking on West on New York City.
No, I know that it was though. I think that it even light snow in the lower Hudson Valley with minor accumulations. Was what I heard. So
That's great. I'm glad you corrected me on that.
I'm just saying that I don't think our region is going to get like pummeled like Washington or Philadelphia or those other
states. Do you know what a heavy FLW is?
I don't know that.
A heavy FLW is from Camp Bronx House is a famous last word.
Oh, famous last words. Well, and that's what they keep on saying, right? That if it inches, if it bumps a little bit, then we'll get creamed. But you never know. You never know. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary R. Mayo is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our now good friend, he was always our friend even before he started doing the show, but now he's doing the show and we couldn't be more happy. Chris Churchill, the Times Union columnist, is with us. How are you, sir?
Good. Very good.
Nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
It's a great sign when you're on the first time. It's an even better sign when we ask you back.
Yeah. I'm flattered.
And,
very
and
flattered.
And even a better sign for us when you actually say
he confessed earlier that he stayed up late last night worrying about what he would say today. I think it's amazing that
I didn't say
thinks
that
ahead of time. That's very close to what you said.
That's
Chris.
An exaggeration of what I said. See, we're arguing already.
Yeah. That's great.
This bodes
show.
Well.
Arguing about,
this bodes
about
really
how
well.
I slept last night. That doesn't bode well.
Well, let's get into it. Well, first of all, an update on the lockbox. We need you. You know, we're about $80,000 away from what we need in the lockbox. We have so far, we need to get, for those of you who are keeping score at home, we need to make, we're trying to raise $1 million in the fund drive. If we get halfway, $500,000, the Spitzer Foundation will give us $25,000. They have challenged us $25,000 if we get it before the start of the fund drive, which is Monday morning, February 1st, so a week from this coming Monday. So far, of the $500,000 we need to raise, we have raised $420,147.
That's fabulous news. Really is.
Which means we need to raise $79,000 between now
and tonight.
And a week from this coming Monday, which is basically, it's about roughly $10,000 a day.
Well, as you know, I've talked often about the whoosh factor and how things happen in the end. It grows up and it grows up and grows up, and the tension is there. And I keep meeting people in the street who, and I'm not lying to you, who tell me I got to get my money into the lockbox. Because I also meet people in the street, as you all know, who come up to me and say, I don't like the fund drive. And I said, you could put money in the lockbox to prevent the fund drive. And they say, that's a different story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We know what you mean.
And Joe, you said something that I just want to make sure everybody understands. You said we're trying to make $1 million in the fund drive. No. We will make $1 million in the fund drive, and we have never, ever, ever failed at meeting a goal.
Whatever our goal was.
And meeting a goal. I know how you said it and how you meant it, but I think it's so important to remember that we set these goals and then we meet them, and that we have to, because otherwise there's no WAMC. And so anybody who could do anything, this is the time to go to WAMC.org and just put something in the lockbox.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Now let's get to the reason that you are all here, and that is to discuss issues of the day. I will quickly take requests. Do you want to talk about viruses or politics?
Viruses.
Okay, let's talk about the
almost
Zika.
The same.
Yeah, what's the difference?
The Zika virus may be linked to a surge in a rare syndrome in Brazil. This is one of those health stories that, again, is concerning, of course. A mosquito-borne virus that has been linked to severe brain damage in infants may be causing another serious health crisis as well. Brazilian officials and doctors warn hundreds of cases of a rare syndrome in which patients can be almost completely paralyzed for weeks. The virus, called Zika, made its way to Brazil recently, but is spreading rapidly around Latin America and the Caribbean. Nearly 4,000 cases of brain damage in which babies were born with unusually small heads have been registered in Brazil in the past year. And this month, American officials advised pregnant women to delay traveling to any of nearly 20 countries in the Western Hemisphere, as well as Puerto Rico, where mosquitoes are spreading the virus. But disease specialists in Brazil say that the virus may also be causing a surge in another rare condition, the potentially life-threatening Guillain-Barré syndrome.
That's the paralysis.
In which a person's immune system attacks part of the nervous system, leaving some patients unable to move and dependent on life support.
Well,
that's scary.
We haven't had a scary disease story since Ebola.
Which was pretty scary.
Yeah.
Is it only spread by mosquitoes?
I don't know that we know that.
It was transferable by touching. We knew that. And people in some of the countries that were affected, Chris, had a tradition of kissing the corpse.
That's Ebola. He means.
That's what he was asking.
No, I was asking about this new virus.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. No, the Ebola, yeah.
I have not heard of any transmittable by anything other than
mosquito bite. Mosquitoes.
It's like malaria.
Right.
Well, then
or dengue fever.
Just enjoy the cold weather then. Because
yeah, I know. Yeah. You're right. There's one good plus of a blizzard.
No mosquitoes.
So that was the question for all of you on the panel, it seems to me, is would you go to Latin America right now? Now, if Roselle was sitting here, she would say yes.
In a minute, in about a nanosecond. Bring D. Just spray yourself with mosquito repellent.
And the big difference between you and me is I wouldn't.
Well, I'm also
not a pregnant woman either.
If I were pregnant, I wouldn't go. That's the scary stuff. I mean, the Guillain-Barré paralysis thing is awful, but you do recover from it. You do not recover
from
being born with no brain and head.
Yeah, the babies.
Terrible defect.
So you and I don't always agree. I wouldn't go.
Okay.
I have tickets to go to Aruba in mid-February.
Don't go.
I'm going to go. And you lather up, right?
Yeah.
You put another chemical on your body which can probably kill something else on you.
Well, yeah.
But mosquitoes can get through that if they really want to. I mean,
Chris, for God's sakes, what do you want?
So, Joe, just remember, I told you, don't go.
I mean, I lived for months in Uganda where the malaria kills, horrible numbers of people every year because they're just too poor to pay for the treatments. And to have Raid in an office, to just spray Raid in an office, which I brought with me, or to put some DEET on your skin. It did eat my nail polish. That was a little bit scary. Made me wonder about what it was doing. But I had no trouble. I didn't have to take malaria pills are almost as bad as getting the disease itself. But if you live in the first world, you can afford the protections, mosquito nettings at night and stuff to put on during the day.
The other thing is when you go further into this article, they talk about how there was a breakout in 2007 and it was doing some island hopping, and then in 2013, and then we're seeing. So it's almost as we hear in these cases of where it builds up an immunity and it goes from one place to the other, and it starts to spread and the numbers get much higher. And I think that is obviously what is so troubling.
I wouldn't go.
When you read about it.
Well, where would you not go? I mean, that's part of what Joe's talking about.
Stay on Hollenbeck Avenue in Great Barrington myself.
Yeah, there's no mosquitoes there in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, the mosquitoes will get you anywhere eventually, even Alaska.
But when they come, then it may be time to consider a mosquito control program for a lot of money. Because there are people in my neighborhood. We have a very interesting neighborhood in which people resist things like vaccinations, other things. Here comes the mail. And sometimes it's very irrational, and it causes some real damage. I'm quite sure that when the mosquito guys come around with the mosquito, stuff, that there'll be people who oppose that, too.
Well, there are reasons to be opposed to that, too, aren't there? I mean, the cancer rates and things like that. I mean,
no. No, they're
yeah, when we were kids, they would spray and we'd run after the truck and you'd have this big fog of insecticide around you. No, there's great danger with all kinds of controls for pests, of course. You have to kind of weigh the pluses and minuses.
Let's take a quick break. We'll weigh those pluses and minuses, and we'll be back with other issues. We'll be right back. WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
You're wrong, Rosemary.
Support for WAMC comes from Atelier Rene Fine Framing, Red Hook. Custom picture framing in a studio setting, personalized service, archival framing materials and methods, AtelierReneFineFraming.com. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, HydeCollection.org. And TSL Time and Space Limited, Hudson, screening Rosenwald, Janice, Little Girl Blue, Lamb, Heart of a Dog, and the Bolshoi Ballet's The Taming of the Shrew, timeandspace.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Like momentarily, just like completely. Yes. I was like, I have that little pinwheel on my computer right now. So I was like looking at that going, So we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go to some of the letters, and then we'll... Okay.
Are there letters?
Well, if there aren't, then we can go on to other stuff.
Well, let's see. We have from Denise and from our very good friend Maggie, stop mispronouncing. It's Jean Bure. It's a French name. Jean Bure, sent from my iPad. I've read the whole message.
Okay.
Including sent from my iPad.
Okay, that means I'm never going to say it again. I'll just say the paralyzing syndrome.
I think Joe tried to get away with that at the beginning.
Although I have to say that when, because I had a relative that had this, and that was how it was always pronounced by that doctor. So I was just going by the pronunciation.
We have a doctor writing to
us. Yeah, so, well, no, I'm sure it trumps it, but I'm just saying in our case, that was how I had heard it, but.
Okay, and Catherine, the doctor, writes back, hello, friends, it's pronounced Jean-Barre. Jean-Barre.
Jean-Barre. Someone help with the capital of North Korea. How is that pronounced? Another one that's impossible. Much in the news. Blank.
I don't know.
We heard a somewhat off-topic letter from Bob. Saying, reading leading conservative diatribes against Trump in the National Review is a sublime pleasure for this liberal. After ginning up their base for years to hate everything government does, now these Brahmins of conservative purity are reaping what they sowed, the rise of an angry populace beyond their control. And if they do manage to knock Trump off his pedestal, what are they likely to be left with? Cruz firmly in the lead? Fun, 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 says Bob.
Well, we're going to get into this in a few moments about the Trump versus Cruz question. We'll talk about that after our news break. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. A reminder, you can also go to our website. It's WAMC.org, WAMC.org. You can go there. You can make a lockbox contribution. And then,
which we need desperately.
Which we need desperately, because we need like $79,000 to get to the challenge.
Can you imagine?
The challenge.
We'll be there at $79,000?
$79,000.
Well, so 790
people? And you make this
point.
Yeah. You make this point all the time, which is a good point, which is that we can make $100,000 a day in the fund drive.
We can.
So $79,000, I mean, yeah. that seems very doable. We could do it by the end of today.
Yeah. See, I love the fund drive. So, I'm somewhat defensive about it because I think it's a place we all get together and we all talk to each other and we read letters that are either very positive or sometimes very negative. But it's always fun. I think it's a great moment for us. But there are those people who really continue to say to me, I don't like the fund drives. And I've always thought that there were people who don't give. You know, they just don't want to give. So, therefore, that they say that to us. But that's, you know, too bad.
That is too bad. We welcome you, WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.
Never supposed to know how to
suddenly we've become an episode of Yelp. It's welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We're just doing some restaurant reviewing.
I was at Cafe Adam last night. It was fantastic. It's
there
the best restaurant in the world.
The world. You don't go to most of the world because you're afraid of weird viruses. So
the part of the
know?
World without mosquitoes. It's,
yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah, that's right.
What have I done to offend you people that you're attacking me all the time?
Let us go to the political stories that we promised you before the break. Just a reminder, you can join us, WAMC.org or roundtable at WAMC.org. The makeup of the panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Chris Churchill, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. So the question before us now is the Republican establishment having to do with whether Ted Cruz is better for the party or Donald Trump is better for the party.
And they hate them both.
And they hate them both. So, but there's two things, and there's another point which we can get to, which is the latest polls, which also show, interestingly, at least I thought this was interesting, and not something that I have seen covered greatly, certainly not the numbers that Trump and Cruz is bringing in, but the person who seems to be inching ahead is John Kasich.
And by the
in
way,
New
we
Hampshire,
knew,
especially,
we,
yeah, right? Yeah.
We knew that from the beginning. We knew that he was the one of them that could capture some of the middle range voters who were necessary for winning presidential elections.
Well, who knew that? Because mostly it was Rubio and Jeb Bush that were getting that.
That
rep.
Was a royal we, actually.
Okay.
We, meaning me,
you.
I knew that.
But we also didn't think, we'd be in the situation that we're in now, which is that Cruz and Trump would be, well, that certainly Donald Trump would be as way ahead as he is in both states now, both in Iowa and in New Hampshire. But here we are. So with Donald Trump and Senator Ted Cruz battling for the Republican nomination, two powerful factions of their party are now clashing over the question, which man is more dangerous? Conservative intellectuals have become convinced that Mr. Trump, with his message of nationalist-infused populism, poses a dire threat to conservatism and released a manifesto online Thursday night to try and stop him. However, the cadre of Republican lobbyists, operatives, and elected officials based in Washington is much more unnerved by Mr. Cruz, a go-it-alone, hard-right crusader who campaigns against the political establishment and could curtail their influence and access, building his own Republican machine to essentially replace them. And, oh, by the way, Bob Dole hates him.
Yeah, he is hated within
well,
his own
like
party.
Well, that makes you like Ted Cruz a lot more. Yeah.
What'd you say, Chris? I'm sorry.
But all that, you know, if the GOP operatives all hate him, that makes you like him more, doesn't it?
No.
No?
Certainly not.
Yeah. It makes the conservatives who are supporting him, the bedrock base of the party, certainly likes them more because of the opposition coming from Republican leaders. I think you're right about that.
They
right.
need an Eisenhower-Nixon figure. That's what they need. You know, that part of the party which seems to be decimated right now. And that's why Kasich becomes such an attractive candidate for so many.
But I think for Kasich to really go anywhere, Cruz has to win in Iowa. I think if Trump wins in Iowa and then wins in New Hampshire and then wins in South Carolina, it's all over. But if Cruz wins in Iowa and then Kasich comes in second in New Hampshire, then you might have a real race, you know. I mean, I think it's people pretty much assume that Trump will win New Hampshire just because he's so far ahead right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still looking at a possible brokered convention and even a split, a new party, an independent movement.
Yeah, but that won't happen if Trump just runs away with it.
Maybe. I don't know.
So if you get a situation where different candidates are knocking him off in different places, mm-hmm. you might get to that brokered
where
convention.
Where the number two is different every place he goes.
Right, or the winner is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we look at those. We look at those poll numbers, and we certainly see Donald Trump way ahead. The other takeaway from the latest polls, and in the graph that is in this morning's New York Times, which is a bit of a collection of poll numbers showing Bernie Sanders doing increasingly well and leading in both New Hampshire and Iowa as well.
And there are people like Rosemary who believe that is an invitation to total disaster. If he wins,
then
what happens is they cede the middle to the Republicans.
Yes. That's it. The Democrats, this is their election to win, I think. Unless it's Sanders, who, you know, again, let me repeat for all those who are going to attack me. I think Bernie Sanders has wonderful ideas. I'm as liberal as he is. I love all that. But it won't sell.
You think that's true, even if it's Sanders versus Trump or Sanders versus Cruz?
Absolutely. I think because then, I mean, look at this election. It's not about National Review has this big whole thing with conservatives attacking. It's an intellectual written approach. That's not going to get the people who are voting in these elections and caucuses. They want a show. They want a performance. They want the Stadium Act that Trump is carrying around. And mm-hmm. Trump does it better than Bernie.
Okay, so yeah. we heard from Jay, who said Trump is no ideologue. I suspect he's never read the Bible or Atlas Shrugged, the two motivating texts of current conservatism. However, Cruz, a Christian jihadist, is scary, dangerous. Regarding Kasich, he's, quote, reasonable only by comparison. Check his record.
Yeah, I lived in Ohio, and I never liked him. But you see him up there on the debate stage, and he seems reasonable and calm, and, wow, you could work with him. It's scary how the party has gone.
Right. It's by comparison.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. In some ways, a Cruz versus Sanders general election would be kind of cool.
Fascinating.
I mean, for once, you'd have two real choices about which direction the country's going to go in. It wouldn't be this kind of muddle in the middle that we always seem to have.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I think it was off the show, about how cool it would be from a journalistic point of view to have one of these, you know, whack jobs, really, in contention.
Well, you're not calling Bernie a whack job, are you?
No. I'm talking Republicans. I would not call him that. I respect him, and I just don't think he can win because he's regarded the way I regard Trump. As a liberal, that is the way Bernie is regarded through much of the country. Claire McCaskill, is that how you pronounce
yes.
her name? From Missouri, said yesterday in an interview,
it's
there's
French,
no
it's a
way.
Hard G.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, whatever. Like a paralyzing disease. She said, there's no way Bernie Sanders could win this state. And that's Missouri. That's not even the hardest one he'd have to get through.
Yeah, but to me, it always depends on who he's up against. You know, I mean, if you have somebody like Cruz who's just as far right as he has left, then who knows? It wouldn't, I mean... I don't know. I'm not from Missouri, so she knows better than I do. But
no. You know, we've discussed this before, but do we know why so many people dislike him?
Which him are we talking about?
Excuse me, Ted Cruz, because they're saying that his colleagues in the Senate, going down to, this is an article from a couple of months ago, to his roommate in college who said he was the most loathsome person on the planet. Because while the themes of his campaign I don't like and I find often very distressing. I haven't seen the part of how do you see him ultimately as a loathsome human other than just for his political beliefs?
It's kind of interesting. They've had his wife more and more kind of out doing interviews and things because she, in some ways, she's a lot more likable than he is, and in some ways, she humanizes him.
Yeah, and she's pretty and intelligent. She actually likes him, so she speaks well about him. But,
she actually
and
likes
his
him.
His two daughters like him, too.
But I think in the Senate, they loathe him because he just, you know, didn't respect the rules of the institution and just kind of
wasn't completely, he's completely solipsistic. which is funny because you would think Trump would be that solipsistic. He's completely self-absorbed.
Oh.
And so he does things not to promote the party or the issue, but simply to promote himself, his very famous...
Isn't that the definition of most politicians?
I think he does it, though, without saying, hey, let's do this together. I'll do it first, then you. He doesn't do any of that compromising.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly went to the Senate to run for president. You know, I mean, it's he didn't go there to pass legislation or to do the things that to do the work of the body. Right. He went there to get a name for himself.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
You know, I just want to report to all of you because I think it's important we keep this honest. What the number one by far interest in our letter writers this morning is. It's no.
Vaccines?
On the contrary, it's the name of the disease.
Oh, okay. Well,
we've had at least 15
letters.
Have
you had this on your medical hour? Maybe.
No, maybe we should. Yes, yeah. That's right. What? What?
A letter?
Nothing.
Oh, more letters?
Yeah.
Okay. Abe Lincoln had it right, says Paul. You can fool some of the people all the time. The more you suckle at the demagogue's teat, the more sour and foul will be the. Effluence until it dries up. The resulting hatred, division, and ignorance are not healthy. Are not healthy.
Which demagogue are we talking about?
Okay.
We have several to choose from.
And then we heard from Benny who said, Rosemary, you sound like just like a Trump supporter, letting fear rule your vote.
Oh, baloney,
and so,
Benny.
Whoa.
I've been supporting Hillary for years.
Your friend, Benny. I just want the your friend thing in there.
No. I have real reasons to not vote for Sanders, but the truth is I was a Hillary supporter before I voted for Obama.
Well, that's true. Okay, so Nancy says, Rosemary, I'm with you. If the Dems nominate Bernie, we are sunk. I do not think he's electable, and the more I see him, the less I like him. An angry, red-faced, yelling man is not someone I can see as president. Thanks, Nancy. All right, that'll get a few letters back. And Colleen says, I don't know, Colleen says, so Cruz isn't liked among his peers because he does not follow the rules of the Senate? Ha ha, good one. That certainly is the pot calling.
Well, his peers in the Senate.
Is the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? Sincerely, Colleen. Okay. And Margaret says, no. Oh, all right. Okay, we're not on that subject. Okay, Eric says, Bernie can win. Memo for Rosemary. I'm a Rosemary fan. That said, she should check the polls and show that Bernie is our best shot against the Republicans. Apparently, he divides them in the right ways, and that thanks from Malcolm. And Brendan says, rather than going with a safe candidate, I think the Republican disarray is an opportunity to get a candidate like Bernie in office. We may not get this opportunity again for a long time. I say, shoot the moon. Now, for those of you who don't play hearts, then you don't know what the term shoot the moon is. That's when you go for the whole thing. That's called shooting the moon.
Well, some of us think shooting the moon means putting in a woman, an experienced, thoughtful,
good
woman.
I still think Bernie is very, very, very much a long shot.
Yeah,
even if he wins Iowa and New Hampshire, because the states that they go to next are places that aren't nearly as friendly.
Right. Yeah,
he wins South Carolina, and then I promise I'll start changing.
Yeah, if he wins South Carolina,
then I'll reassess. I promise.
Well, yes, and remember what primaries are. They are a defined small group of people, right? Who are the Republicans show up 15% in a primary, and they're the radical Republicans.
Right.
The Democrats show up in a primary. They're not representative of the whole state. In South Carolina, for example, they may be to the left of center and therefore vote for Bernie. So not too quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I keep thinking of those polls just before our last presidential election, and I sat down with a huge bowl of popcorn figuring I was going to be there till midnight or later waiting for it because it was going to be so close.
10:15.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I didn't even go through the whole bowl. So the polls on voting are indicative, and yes, I have accepted that we're going to just talk about them endlessly like every other talk show. However, I don't really put all my faith in them.
Robert said, didn't Hillary and Barack also serve in the Senate as stepping stone to the presidency?
They did.
We talked about not doing the work of the Senate. Remember that?
Yeah, but Hillary went. She was like a major player. And
she was.
I think that's definitely a fair criticism of Barack or
sure.
President Obama.
Yeah.
He didn't do much. That's true. Yeah.
Okay, and Joni says, you tell me when to shut up, Joe. Okay, Joni says, after New Hampshire, the also-rans in the GOP will begin to drop out. Independents in New Hampshire are leaning towards Bernie and Kasich, but who knows which ballot they'll take? If enough take the GOP ballot and he comes out close to Trump, Kasich will come out in New Hampshire with enough steam that the other establishment GOP should begin to drop, and it will be a whole new race. I don't want to think Trump is anything close to a shoo-in. Bernie is a red-faced yelling man. Ugh, no way. But I am talking Trump versus GOP at the moment.
But since I saw a poll out of Florida a couple days ago that showed Trump at like 50%, close to 50% in Florida.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if that holds up, then you would have to think that Rubio and Bush would both be kind of pushed out at that point. Because if you're doing that poorly in your own state, then there's not much hope.
Do you guys remember when... when Giuliani thought he was going to go down to Florida, that was his secret thing, and that he would win because of all the New Yorkers who have retired to Florida, and it didn't work for him. Didn't work.
He put all of his eggs in one state basket.
The reason I say that is that Trump, 50%, Trump, the quintessential New Yorker. Oh, boy, am I going to get it for that.
Yeah, and Floridian. He has he has a home in Florida.
Right, but Trump will get... clobbered I'll get clobbered by calling him the quintessential New Yorker, but in many ways he is.
He is a New Yorker.
He's managed to work against that image in many places he's been. I mean, people are not looking at his record. They're not comparing and thinking and studying him. They're just reacting to the great show.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what those National Review writers were complaining about, right? Yes. I mean, they're saying that he's not conservative. He's not a Republican, is what they're saying, essentially.
Get money to Hillary Clinton, okay?
And Rahm Emanuel. And,
exactly.
So what is he, Rosemary? I mean, how would you, you know, a guy who goes around and basically prostitutes himself by giving people that thing. What word would you use?
He's not giving himself up to get something. I would not use the W word that offends so many of your listeners.
Our listeners, because you're one of us.
That's true. Our listeners. When I criticize him, I would say you're. I think he's a man who loves power, and he has seen, and he certainly has something to it. Look at his success. That power and business success and political success is similar. And he has gone ahead and used that very well.
Seems to like the spotlight. I don't know.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Seems to enjoy that. Let's take a break. We'll come back, put the spotlight on some other stories, and we'll do that right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from Godfrey Financial Associates, Glenmont, New York. Providing retirement planning and wealth management services for over 20 years, Godfrey Financial is an independent, woman-owned advisory firm. GodfreyFinancial.com. Watercolors by Edith, Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Huntsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. Edith-Huntsberger.artistwebsites.com. And Paul Rich & Sons Home Furnishings and Design, downtown Pittsfield. Featuring Schiffman handcrafted mattresses, hand-tied with natural materials, two-sided for durability, made in the USA for over 120 years. Delivery throughout the Northeast. PaulRich.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. We have about 5 minutes left, and we will wrap up the show. We have a couple of letters. We'll get to one more topic, and then we'll be done for this morning.
Oh, you want more letters now?
I thought you had a request to read a letter.
Oh, yes. For the first time in many of these contests, are we finally ready for Ralph Nader? Is that a question? Going green now sounds more attractive than red or blue. Okay. My answer, Matt Mann, is no, we are not ready for Ralph Nader, and I hope he doesn't screw it up again.
And do you want to read more?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know what you want. I'm here for you, Joe. Anything you say, I'll do. Republican presidential candidate, presidential race, Ted Cruz. While we hear repeatedly Cruz is unliked, if he's so hateful, how did he get elected? Obviously, some people like him, regardless of what the experts or critics say. And John says, good morning, panel. I'm hoping you can answer a question that's been on my mind and many of the family and friends. Our founding fathers worked hard to have a country with separation of church from state, yet every time a Republican presidential candidate must show how much of a Christian he is and wants to bring his Christian values to the White House. I firmly believe religion has no place in politics. Let us not turn into Iran, where you have a president who answers to the almighty supreme religious leader. Okay.
It's not just Republicans. Democrats have to do that, too.
So let us end with a we'll change topics and we'll end with a story that Chris has written on this week, which is an interesting story because a lot of New York State, of course, is dealing with this. Many states are dealing with this, and that is the minimum wage and the $15 minimum wage that is being proposed and what impact that has on all of us, but certainly small business owners and business owners. I shouldn't even say small business, should I, Chris?
No, it's nonprofits, farmers, public radio stations. It would affect pretty much everybody.
And what did you find?
Well, my column was just basically raising the question of whether you might be able to agree that a $15 an hour minimum wage makes sense in Brooklyn or the Bronx or downstate, but does that level make sense in Watertown or Utica and all these other places where that's a pretty good salary. You know, that's quite a high minimum in places like Watertown.
Well, Andrew has lost his left. That's Andrew Cuomo has lost his left. Mm-hmm. And he's trying like crazy to get it back. And I have a feeling that the political reason, the Machiavellian reason for this, let alone, I'm sure I can't tell you what's really in his brain, but I can tell you that that's what's afoot right here now. We all know it. We see it in a number of levels.
He's a peacock and he wants a really, really shiny feather to...
I like it. I like it. How many?
They've all faded a little bit, you know. I mean,
can anybody multiply 15 times 40?
It's $32,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in New York City, you're quite right.
That's
hard to live on $32,000 a year. Just your rent would cost that.
But in much of the state, that approaches the median income.
Right.
So to have a situation where the minimum and the median are roughly the same, it's kind of unprecedented.
Mm-hmm. So could we mark you down in the negative column?
For statewide, yeah. I mean, I talked to a lot of business owners when I wrote for that column, and almost all of them seem to agree that some raise in the minimum wage would be a good thing, but they're all terrified at the idea of 15, the ones that I talked to anyways.
Right.
You know, how does a farmer in, say, Washington County who has to pay that much compete with one in Vermont who doesn't have to pay that much?
Right.
They're both selling at the same farmer's market. Or, you know, how does the... You know, one of the people I talked to was an independent bookstore owner, and she's worried about, you know, everybody buys books online. She has to pay 15 and higher. You know, Amazon obviously doesn't pay that much, and the big warehouses they have, Tennessee or wherever they are.
Okay, all the Bernie supporters out there, can we please answer this? The reason that we need to do this now is you put pressure to raise the $15 everywhere. I mean, there's a push to do it federally, and the rest of us pay more so that we all live a livable wage. This is what we're talking about.
But the question
has to start.
Is upstate New York, which is kind of an economic basket case, the place to do the experiment? I mean, if you did it nationally, that's one thing, because then at least it's a level playing field everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in upstate New York has been bleeding jobs for decades.
And this will make it worse, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
I do.
Well, you know, I like the idea of people having a living wage, and I'd like to think it would work, and there's something special about living in New York. You're right. When you mentioned public radio in that list, you were right. I mean, we have people who had been making less than $15 an hour. So we have a fourth fund drive.
I don't know.
I'm just teasing.
I think Cuomo should get credit for taking a leadership role in gun legislation, regulation.
Right.
And that, I guess a new study in the Times Union shows that it has been effective, it has worked. So why not try this here? When New York and California take action that smaller states don't, it's a leadership thing.
I don't care what his motive is.
A lot of the business owners aren't really, a lot of them don't really have that many employees who make minimum wage. In fact, very few people do make minimum wage. What they're worried about is the people who make, say, 14 to 16,
right,
who are going to need to be bumped up. And this, I guess that's what you were talking about,
right,
when you're saying
exactly.
it kind of raises everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And while we're at it, I think restaurant owners should pay a living wage to their employees, and we stop paying tips. How do you start that? You know, the waiter will run out.
Well,
and
there are businesses that are starting that.
They are. I know. It's in New York. There
yeah,
are several places.
Even there. Here, and we'll sort of see how it goes.
It all makes sense to me, and I realize that this initial stage is hard.
And so what's the rationale?
30
for,
seconds.
What's the rationale for our not paying tips?
You pay them a wage instead of paying them $5.
Well, you pay them a wage and tips. How about wage and tips?
Wait, why is it our job to make sure that this guy is earning enough to live?
Because it is.
No.
Because it's what we've always done.
I don't pay
what we
tips to
do.
Joe. You pay him. I don't have to give him
I
money
give him
to make
tips.
Sure.
Yeah, but she's, well.
You could tip Joe. There's no reason.
Now he's going to follow me out and say, hey, where's the
can
money?
Can I borrow your hat?
Also.
To help you put on your coat and walk you to the car.
Also, bet on the fifth horse in the fifth race, as Mario.
That's right. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much for being with us. Don't forget the lockbox, WAMC.org. We need your help desperately, WAMC.org.
Really
surprise our socks off on Monday, WAMC.org, or scare the zippers off us.
Oh.
WAMC.org. We'll be back after this break.
Don't go south.